This is WQXR's Arts File. It's Friday, February 5th. I'm Carrie Nolan. We're just a month away from the 82nd Annual Academy Awards Ceremony, and we thought we'd spend today's Arts File taking a look at the nominees for Best Original Movie Score. Here to give us some insight is John Burlingame, who teaches film music history at the University of Southern California. He also writes for the showbiz Bible Variety. Good morning, John. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Well, back in the day, composers were right up there with directors and producers. We didn't hear much this week about the nominees in the Best Original Score category. These are composers who can help make or break a film's narrative. Why aren't we paying more attention to them?
I don't know, and I think we should. I think the contribution of the composer is enormously important, not just in setting the emotional tone, but sometimes in giving us a sort of soundscape clue to where we are, what kind of period we're in, setting the mood, creating atmosphere. It's enormously important.
You write that James Horner, who won two Oscars for Titanic, and he's also nominated for Avatar this year, says he thinks that the music has slipped closer to the level of sound effects for lots of directors. Do you have any insight as to why?
Well, there are many reasons for it. They all disappoint me. As we know, we're now in the midst of the cult of the director who controls everything. And I think many of today's directors are so enamored of the technical side of things that allows you to create enormously interesting and creative and effective sound effects that sometimes the contribution of music is pushed back. And then there's also the notion that a lot of directors do not want music to push emotional buttons as often happened in the old days of Max Steiner and Eric Korngold back in the 30s, 40s, and 50s. They want the music to play a more subtle role, and that automatically sort of reduces it to sort of second-class status.
How are the nominees chosen?
The music branch of the Academy consists of 234 composers, songwriters, and music editors. It's that group that watches the movies, listens to the scores, and makes the final five nomination choices.
Let's get to the nominees themselves. There were five movie scores nominated. Tell us who they are, and give us a thumbnail impression of their work.
Well, I think the front runner this year is probably Michael Giacchino's score for Up, which is the Pixar film. And what's interesting about that is that it's actually the only one of the five nominees that is a traditional orchestral score without other electronic or studio-created bells and whistles. And the point of the Up score is really to sort of underline the emotion, particularly in the early scenes where we have Ed Asner's character and we find out about his marriage and his whole backstory before he meets the little kid that takes him on a worldwide adventure. The Giacchino score, I think, is a marvel of doing exactly what music should do. You have Avatar, which is by James Horner, the Titanic composer, and that's an interesting mixture of very complex synthesizer and voice tracks that are sort of encased in, again, a more traditional orchestral score, but it's a real mixture of synthesizer and voice and orchestra, and, of course, very effective. And I think that given the incredible visual experience of Avatar, the Horner score complements it quite well. The Fantastic Mr. Fox was a bit of a surprise to me. This is a score by the French composer Alexandre Desplat. I actually rather expected him to be nominated for Julie and Julia, or my personal favorite of the year, Coco Before Chanel. But the Fantastic Mr. Fox score is interesting in the sense that it's a very sort of small group of quirky, offbeat choices like banjos and mandolins and toy percussion that the composer clearly felt would complement the quirky visuals of Wes Anderson in that film. Sherlock Holmes is a score by Hans Zimmer, who is perhaps best known for his Gladiator score a few years ago and who previously won for The Lion King. Hans Zimmer's score for Sherlock Holmes is, again, kind of quirky and offbeat. It's very in-your-face. It's a loud and propulsive score that consists of some fairly unusual instruments, the Hungarian cymbalum. There's a banjo. There's a detuned piano. There's a gypsy fiddler in there, and it's all sorts of unusual choices. And the fifth score was, to me, the biggest surprise of the five, the Hurt Locker, by Marco Beltrami and his partner Buck Sanders. Beltrami was nominated a year or two ago for 310 to Yuma. This is almost a kind of sound design score, and it's by far the most edgy of the five, in that it is many acoustic instruments, but almost all electronically processed, so that when you're watching that movie, you often don't know whether you're listening to sound effects, natural sound, or music. It's a sort of very contemporary blend of all of those.
Was there anyone who should have been nominated but wasn't?
Well, that's always an interesting call, and it becomes fairly subjective because, you know, we all think of ourselves as experts in music because we all own an iPod or we all listen to the radio. So we all have our choices. For me, I wasn't necessarily surprised, but I would have liked it if we had heard the name of Abel Korzeniowski, who's a young Polish composer who did a wonderful job on a picture called A Single Man this year. Marvin Hamlisch, the fellow from The Sting and The Way We Were, made a big comeback this year with The Informant, which was a very risky and daring score that I thought might get attention but didn't. And as I mentioned before, Alexandre Desplat's score for Coco Before Chanel had by far, to me, the most haunting and memorable score for a movie this year.
Well, for those of us handicapping this on Oscar night, in your opinion, who's going to win the Oscar on March 7th?
You can put all your money on Michael Giacchino for Up. I'm convinced that Up will win this year. Doesn't mean that the other scores weren't worthy. I just think that the sequence early on in Up, where we learn about Ed Asner's family life, is going to be the one that's going to turn the tables, I think, toward Michael Giacchino.
Who should win?
Who should win? You know, that's a very interesting question. I would say Up, frankly. I was so taken and so moved. I mean, let me just say this. Up is any Pixar movie to begin with automatically needs the help of music because you're watching unreal people, unreal things. You're watching an animated movie. And so the role of music is automatically more important because it's the thing that most convinces you that we are grounded, that this what's happening is real, that we're watching something actually unfold. And what I think is so extraordinary about the Up score is that we are not just convinced of the reality of this situation, but we are genuinely moved by what happens during the married life sequence when we find out about Ed Asner's character's whole background and what happened before he meets this cute little Boy Scout. And I think that if he wins, it'll be for that single sequence.
John, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, Carrie, I'm afraid I've given you way more than you need.
Not at all. It's great.
But thank you.
John Burlingame writes for Variety and teaches film music history at the University of Southern California. And that's today's Arts File online from Classical 105.9 WQXR. I'm Carrie Nolan.